It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? Gene's a big timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest bus gang hits. Yeah. Chuck Muncie's goons have the last say. So thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo. Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, kill Francesa.
Oh, kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Alan.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian.
Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
How you're doing today? I'm walking around today almost like in this, still in this state of euphoria. Like yesterday was a massive party and I'm not really hungover. I'm just waiting for the next opportunity to do that again because we had so much to chew on in the aftermath of the Bills getting the win on Monday night. And now we look forward to a game against Tennessee with Amari Cooper on the roster. It's an exciting week.
I don't think today's a hangover. I think it's like a carryover, if you will, because I have opinions from that game. A lot of people do that we didn't even get to yesterday.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, so like if you were like, oh, yeah, by the way, about this, or hey, about the Titans. I mean, I feel like we're behind schedule here. There was so much happening. We're already at Wednesday here. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. Short week for me, off tomorrow, so I want to get a lot today, as much as we can today, and then I'll be back on Friday. Good cause.
No, but yeah, so good cause for you. I'm here tomorrow with Schneider, so we will have a show tomorrow.
Okay.
Which should be very entertaining, seeing that the way it works out, that the Yankees play the Guardians at 5 o'clock and his head will explode. You are out golfing for a good cause.
Right. I mean, it's not for a good cause. It's for my daughter. I mean, it's her golf banquet at Mercy, and they do a daddy-daughter or a parent-daughter golf outing. And I didn't look at the forecast. It's tomorrow supposed to be like today? Because today is kind of like if it's like today and it's dank, I thought we'll power through it.
I thought we were done. No, you got sun 57 tomorrow.
I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that for an afternoon of golf with my kid tomorrow afternoon in advance of her golf banquet. So that's my excuse for being absent from the sports bar tomorrow, but I'll leave you in good hands with Timmy Schneider, and Gina will be here as well. And yeah, Timmy being a Cleveland guy, a Guardians fan, a Browns fan, I'm sure he has plenty of opinions. Jeez. And by the way, I mean, like, not a bad time to have Timmy come into the sports bar. And it's with that in mind that we're going to welcome in one of our guests later this afternoon here at 425. A guy with some 585 roots, now doing great things at our Odyssey Sports sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Spencer German stops in to talk about what the Bills are getting in Amari Cooper.
Yeah, what the Bills are getting, and the Cleveland Brown fans even notice what happened? Are you just so dialed in on the Guardians. Honestly, like, if you are a Cleveland fan,
right,
your loyalties are across the board, and you're like, oh, football, whatever, this team, I hate this team. Every Browns fan I talk to, now that the quarterback is not only the worst in the league, not only the worst undisputedly in the league, he might be the worst quarterback of all time the way Watson has started. Browns fans are just wishing this team away, and they're like, well, good. Well, question number one I would have would be, you know, I guess, you know, tell us a little bit about Cooper and, you know, why did the production fall off? But why didn't the Browns get more in this trade? Like, why the need to move him now? It's not like you're saving a lot of money. It's not that a three-round move up from 6 to 3 is all that enticing. I'm just confused about that, Danger. Couldn't you have gotten more if you waited the deadline, or are you just worried that the guy might get hurt and then you get nothing? I don't know.
I want to know, just from a professional point of view, exactly how much Cleveland Browns are they talking about on the station there on 92.3 The Fan? Are they talking any Browns, or is it wall-to-wall Guardians talk? I would imagine they've kind of reversed, whereas this time of year you're usually talking NFL, but because it's so bad and the Guardians are in the ALCS, that you're wall-to-wall Guardians. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the Browns traded Amari Cooper today.
I would think that they still are talking a good deal of Browns because their station colors are brown and orange.
Yeah.
So, like, all right, yeah, you're kind of hooked up with that team.
Yeah. Spencer joins us at 425 this afternoon and stopping by as he does every Wednesday afternoon here. In about 20 minutes or so, we'll check in with the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. And Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
So the Bills, 3-game road trip. It's been a minute. The last time we had a Sunday home game kicking off, we hadn't even begun the season. It was 0-0, the Bills record. That was week 1 for a Sunday home game. Wait a second. The line here, Bills are only favored by 8.5 against this, you mentioned dank, this dank Tennessee team. I mean, this looks fishy, does it not? Just lay the points here? Or is this a team that could give the Bills some problems?
I wonder which direction PJ is leaning on this. I know how I feel about this. I think what you have in Tennessee is a pretty good defense and a big, big defensive line. Like, moving bodies on that defensive line is a challenge for any team that goes up against the Titans, but you can obviously, you know, move the ball in other ways and other fashions. I like the idea that the Bills are returning home after a tough 3-game road trip. They got the win on Monday night. Yes, it's a short week, but you've got this kind of like, you've got this normalcy back, right? It's a 1 o'clock game in Orchard Park, and you know the guys love it. You know the fans love it, and everybody's going to be geared up for it. And you've got a team, from a culture standpoint, you see the move to get Cooper, and you have to be excited if you're in that locker room. Like, oh my God, we got better. We just got better. We got another guy. We got a guy who knows how to come in and will produce at some point. That move resonates, and it's the kind of move that we've seen Brandon Bean make. But, you know, it's the kind of move that you're like, you have nothing to lose. This is a low risk, high reward kind of move, and it shows that you're not asleep at the wheel and you're not satisfied with just doing things the way they've gone this season. I mean, they reversed course pretty quickly here from everybody eats to, yeah, we probably need a number one. Maybe we should get a number one. You think we should get a number one? Yeah, let's get a number one.
I kind of think that Cooper at this stage, I'm still going to drive that Shakir train. I think it's a 1A and 1B situation, or a 2A and 2B, if you want to say that. But I just don't know if Cooper, you know, 1-1 for now, we're saying, my gosh, he's the number one receiver. Maybe there's going to be some gift. At least it gives you some.
Let me try to change your mind on that.
All right.
As to why Cooper is a 1. Is there anybody in that Bills wide receiving room that is capable of over 200 yards receiving in a single game?
Well, the answer is no, of course, on that.
That's what you're getting out of Amari Cooper, who had 236 in a game just last year with Joe Flacco throwing him the football.
Here's the one thing I want to learn. And we've watched Amari Cooper for the better part of a decade here, right? It's 3rd and 6. Where's Allen going to trust?
Oh, I get that.
Like, so it's how you define a number one.
Sure.
But as far as, hey, this is a receiver that actually can win you the game, from that kind of platform, yeah, Cooper has that over Shakir. I'm excited, and I think a lot of the Bills fans are going to be excited to see this game on Sunday. I think it's a bad spot for the Titans, and I, you know, call me chalky chalk, man. I think the Bills win this game. I think they cover, and it could be a blowout. But before we make our final decisions, we got all week to kind of explore this. We'll talk to the expert, PJ Glasser, coming up at the bottom of this hour.
And I know that there's a game that we're going to talk about with PJ later on this weekend as well. It's a Super Bowl rematch. I mean, it's the Chiefs and the Niners, and you know, I'll be the first to remind you this stat that, you know, some of these stats that PJ throws at us are kind of hidden, and you don't really know or you forget. Andy Reid, 21-4 out of bye weeks.
Pretty darn good.
Not bad. In fact, the best in NFL history.
But if you're the 49ers, isn't this a game you circled? I know, circling the games on the calendar are kind of cliche. Last night, I didn't tell you this. So last night, I went on Binkley's show.
Oh, boy.
Now they're not on 610 anymore. They're on the FM in Kansas City. Uh-huh. 96, not to be confused with CMF. 96.5, the Fan in Cleveland.
Yeah.
What were they saying in Kansas City about the Cooper trade? So
not a guy they want.
No,
not good enough.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope. Do something.
Oh.
That was the mantra because, hey, Rice is down. You don't have enough at the receiver position. And no, we were never going to get Adams, but they wanted Cooper. They thought that would have been the best fit. Now, this is Jay telling me this is what the fan base was saying. And then I went through Chiefs Twitter, and yeah, that seemed to be a little bit of that. What do you think Binkley's response was? You know, this Chiefs offense is so complicated that really to bring in somebody from the outside at this point, we only need people that I'm like, Jay.
Good. Get MVS back. He's out there.
Exactly. That's what I told him. I'm like, here you go. You can have him back. Number one. And I'm like, and Jay, by the way, Kadarius Toney wasn't in the system. You could go back to Kelvin Benjamin. You brought in Kelvin Benjamin. Okay, so there's been other instances where the Chiefs went and got a wide receiver. The Bills move faster than you on this. That's just a fact. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. Yeah, go ahead and re-sign MVS. He's out there. And I'm saying this, and of course, the Bills and the Chiefs will meet in the postseason, and MVS
will be there,
and he'll embarrass us, and you know that's just our lot in life. It'll be MVS or it'll be Xavier Worthy, just absolutely going deep on the Bills, and we won't have any answer for it. But so that was their take. Their take is that the Chiefs didn't move fast enough. They wanted a guy like Cooper. Given all of the injuries that they have. It's a weird thing that, you know, we talk about the arrogance of some of these NFL teams and NFL GMs. We certainly talk about it with the Bills from time to time, but I think the Chiefs do have the most arrogance. The idea that, you know, we've won the Super Bowl, we're going for our third straight. Andy Reid is going to go down as the best of all time, the most winningest coach of all time. You know, he's going to be right up there with Belichick, with Walsh, with all of the guys. He already is, in my opinion. And you have the best quarterback in the league. What do you need to add somebody, a 30-year-old wide receiver? What do you need to add him for? You don't need to add him. We're fine. We're going to be okay. Next man up really is next man up.
It was kind of like New England was for a lot of years,
yep.
Was it not? Like, they would be like, wait a second, we're cutting this veteran. It's fine. We're going to. So you do get that arrogance with success and kind of feeding into it. I kind of rolled my eyes, to be honest. Like, okay, you're going to bring in Kareem Hunt. Okay, good luck with that. Well,
they're getting, they are getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire back for what that's worth. He was moved up to their active roster in advance of this matchup against San Francisco this weekend. I don't know if that makes a whole lot of difference, if that's a massive upgrade from what they have in Kareem Hunt. And you know, of course, Juju Smith-Schuster going off against the Saints is something to monitor as well. Like, they just resuscitated this guy's career. And maybe that continues here through the course of the rest of the season, just out of necessity, because you don't have anybody else to really throw the ball to. Oh, no, by the way, you do still have Kelsey. Kelsey having beers with his girlfriend, you know, during the bye week. I can't be critical of that because it's your bye week and it's your time off and do what you want to do. But it doesn't help fight the narrative that Kelsey came into the season out of shape or a little bit hungover from an off season of just epic partying with the most famous person in the world.
Listen, I'm not going to fault him for going out to a game with his girlfriend, but to your point, there is an optics thing to this. And funny, like, people in Cleveland are upset about that. He's from Cleveland. Why wasn't he wearing a Guardians cap?
Fraud. Well, it's these Kelce boys. I got to tell you, they are, they're chameleons. I mean, do we not love Jason Kelce wearing the Buffalo hat and the Fred Flintstone costume on Monday night?
Of course.
Playing to the crowd and doing the bowling ball shots. The guy's not loyal to the Buffalo Bills. He's a Philadelphia Eagles guy.
So that's what Binkley, of course, asked me about. I was like, "What? Why did you accept Kelce?" And I explained to him, well, we just have low self-esteem, Jay. If you tell us you love us and you're all you have to say is Buffalo, in our case, Rochester, we love you. Yeah.
Massive case of insecurity. Yeah, yeah. All you have to do is make sure we have a pulse and we'll fall in love with you. That's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll talk about not just the pro football action. We'll also get into college football with PJ Glasser. He's stopping by the sports bar here. We'll get some winners in about 10 minutes or so. You can join us anytime at 866-4326. We'll also give away some free tickets later this afternoon to see Disturbed and Daughtry at KeyBank Center. That's coming up Friday, April 4th. Your tickets for that show go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. You can win them before you buy them. Here on The Fan Rochester before 6 o'clock. Keep listening for those. We appreciate you stopping by and listening in this free-to-download Odyssey app on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. And our stream is up as well. You can watch the sports bar on our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe while you're there. That's The Fan Rochester on YouTube, also on Twitch at The Fan Rochester.
Yeah, so Sean McDermott speaking, well, just within the last hour here. So normally we do the McDermott lives, but since they're coming off the Monday night game, I think this is smart. Take your foot off the pedal. Do you really need the full practice on Wednesday? The answer is no. So today for the Bills, just a walkthrough, which means we're not going to learn a heck of a lot. You'll have to wait till tomorrow to just kind of decipher, all right, are we going to have a chance to see James Cook? What about Ed Oliver? What about these defenders? Were there any setbacks? Full practice tomorrow with that. And what about Amari Cooper? This cracks me up. Okay, so Amari Cooper gets the call, ring, ring, you've been traded. Okay, so he's in Cleveland. He drove last night.
Great. I love it.
You realize, like, wait a second, that's not that far a drive. That's
like
only
a two-hour drive for them, right?
Two and a half, yeah.
Not bad at all. Yeah, I love it. And I can't remember who was sharing it, but I don't follow Amari Cooper on Instagram, but I think his quote on Instagram was move or rust. Yeah, I kind of dig that. And if that's the mindset and the mentality that he has coming in and he's a motivated player, then we can forget about what we've seen out of him as far as the lack of production the first 6 weeks and believe that he's coming in motivated and ready to help win a title here in Buffalo. So still unknown as to whether or not Cooper will be on the field against the Titans on Sunday, as Sean McDermott making it clear that he just wants to make sure he's in and he's onboarded. And when he uses the term onboarding, I just think corporate. I just think, oh, what a corporate word. I mean, like, I know that when you hire somebody new, you have to onboard them. But to hear about a football player being onboarded, it's like, okay, well, he's being onboarded, I guess. Okay. Got to learn the terminology and learn, the offense.
Can he learn five plays this week? Because honestly, you're taking the spot of MVS. So it can't be that hard. You don't need Cooper to come in and get 10 targets. But you know what? Can you run this route here and this route there? There should be some packages. Like, if you don't see Amari Cooper on the field this week, he's healthy. What are you doing? Heck, the Jets are going to – I thought Devontae Adams was hurt danger.
No, but you know what? I think what it was that hamstring. It just must have healed once it got out of that dry desert air. I think getting out of the dry desert air, that's probably good for your hammies. And Devontae Adams is expected to go on Sunday night when the Jets take on the Steelers. Kind of funny how that works in terms of that injury. I mean, huge, huge exaggerated air quotes.
Kind of funny how life works here too, like in terms of active yardage and receiving. Cooper, the guy right ahead of him, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Are we going to be comparing these two?
How do you compare a guy who might only be here for just over half a season versus a guy who will go down as one of the best in Bills history?
By Diggs' best years were in Buffalo. Cooper is at the downside. Mm-hmm. So that is your point. But why do we assume that, hey, Cooper is going to go walk out the door? I mean, if it goes well this year, Brandon Bean's going to be on the phone. And you're going to have Diggs amongst others. There's going to be other receivers on the market this year. Yep. So I would think that maybe at least you're sitting down with Cooper and seeing if you can hammer something out.
You give him a number that you believe he's worth, and he will want a number, I guarantee you, will want a number that is higher than what the Bills think he's worth. I think if you're Brandon Bean and you're the Bills, in terms of addressing wide receiver long term, you did that with Keon Coleman in the second round, and I think you do it again in an early round next year at the draft. You get younger at that position, and you don't fall victim to what a lot of teams have to fall to, which is overpaying for production at a skill position, whether it's running back or wide receiver.
Well, I think what you do is, because if I'm going to like use the Diggs parallel, they're the same age, right? And Diggs is also going to be a free agent. I would think that Diggs get more interest on the open market? Yes.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So as soon as Diggs signs somewhere, that's where you enter. And you weren't going to, hey, we weren't going to pay Steph what he wanted. That's why we traded him. I'm doing my Brandon Bean impression, but we'd like
listen.
To have it. Listen. But hearing Jerry Jones say listen, I'm like, no, that's Brandon Bean's word.
No, it's a power move. That's just a power move that people in power like to use to be more emphatic with what they want to say. Like, I'm going to tell you something, and you better listen. So listen. I could fire you, and I could take my business elsewhere. This is basically what he was telling our brother in there at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas yesterday.
I think when we're doing our high school game this week, Danger, like I always like to give those little hat tips to the sports bar listener. Like if, hey, it's going to be first and 10 at the 9. It can't be that way. But like if you just say like something like if I just emphasize 9.
Second and nine.
Yeah.
Or if I want to make a point to you in the broadcast, can I pull that power from Danger? Listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
Now that you mention it, I wonder if that's what like Collinsworth does. Like maybe he has code with his family. Like, hey, every time I say here's a guy, I want you to hear me say I love you. That, like maybe that's what his code is, you know, like to somebody special. Like I'm just going to say it so many times that you're going to understand that I'm at the game physically, but I'm really thinking about you. Here's a guy really means I love you. I'm thinking about you. Maybe that's what it is.
I think that's just a crutch he has.
Okay, well, it could just be a crutch. All right, let's get to PJ Glasser. He is the host of BetQL's Send It In. You can hear it on the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can find it on YouTube. It's a great show. It's a half an hour. It's easily digestible. It moves fast, and it gives you winners. We'll get PJ's best bets for college and pro football this weekend next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The Fan Rochester Sports.
update.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about his new wide receiver.
Pleasant, pro. You know, he's a grown man. I mean, he's been in the league 10 years now, and he's seen a lot of things, a couple different teams, and he's experienced the ebbs and flows like we all do of the NFL. And, like I said, we're happy to have him.
McDermott adding that Amari Cooper, no decision has been made whether or not he will play against the Titans. Cooper, by the way, driving from Cleveland to Buffalo last night following the trade. We'll get the thoughts of PJ Glasser, host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. He joins us next year in the Sports Bar. Today for the Bills, just being a walkthrough. Tomorrow, full practice. We should have a better idea tomorrow for the progress of James Cook and Ed Oliver. Mets and Dodgers tonight. Citi Field, it's game three. Luis Severino against Walker Buehler. We've got Sabres hockey tonight. The Sabres are in Pittsburgh. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader. The Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
All right, we're joined now by the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports betting insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And PJ, it's always great to have you on. It's great to get some winners out of you as we talk every week about your best bets in college and in pro football. And once again, this weekend, we have another unbelievable slate of games on Saturday to look forward to, including Texas and Georgia. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, guys. Great week of football. I know we were all excited for the college slate last week. Guys, it might even be better this week. Like, the games are really good. I know we're going to talk some NFL, too. Bunch of great NFL games. So, great week of football. Georgia-Texas, I think, is going to be awesome. It's kind of crazy where this line is headed, guys. Texas, early in the week, they reopened as 3.5-point favorites. And then maybe about an hour and a half ago, a group came in to hit Texas. They're all the way up to 5 now against Georgia. So a lot of people like this Texas team. I understand why they've looked really good. My thing is just Texas hasn't played anybody yet. You know, they haven't played an offense that can throw the football. You look at their two wins over Power Four opponents. Michigan had Davis Warren and Alex Orji starting at quarterback. Both of those guys have been benched ever since. They're going with Seth Tuttle now because they can't throw. And then Oklahoma last week were without their top 5 receivers. Their O-line was banged up. Their quarterback was making his second career start. So Texas is good. My thing is we just really don't know how good they are. Georgia, we know, has played people. I mean, they played Clemson. They played Bama. They played Kentucky. They're battle-tested. And, guys, you know, when you get a team like Georgia, this is the first time they're an underdog in their last 50 games. Wow. When you get a team like that that's not used to being an underdog, it just feels like those teams, players, whether it's like a Mahomes, whether it's a Nick Saban, when they're in their roles, it tends to bring the best out of them. So I do like Georgia this week plus the points, and I take a shot with them on the money line as well. It feels like a lot of people are down on Georgia, and when we're down on a team like Georgia, that's when I tend to like to buy in.
Yeah, PJ Glasser, your host, has sent it in. That's not the only matchup, certainly, this week, although that is the best, maybe. We've got Alabama and Tennessee, and Alabama 2 weeks ago getting shocked by Vanderbilt, and you figured, oh, last week, they won, but it wasn't all that convincing over South Carolina. So here are the Crimson Tide. How do you like this week against Tennessee? How do you view this matchup, PJ?
So, guys, as you know, I'm an Alabama grad, so me and my buddies, you know, before the season starts, we all talk about our predictions and how we think the season's going to play out, and I thought that Bama would always lose this game, right? I was going back and forth on certain games, the Georgia game, LSU coming up in a couple weeks. Maybe they'd have a tough game at home against like a Missouri or somebody like that. But I always thought they would lose this game to Tennessee. Now that we're here, though, I kind of like Bama in the game for a couple reasons. The first one being Kellen DeBoer showed us last year at Washington, and now he showed us at Bama through his first 6 games that he just plays to the level of his competition. Like, that's what his teams do. Washington was undefeated last year going to the national championship game against Michigan, guys. But up until that, they had played 10 straight games that were decided by 10 points or less. Didn't matter whether it was a top 5 matchup, whether it was an unranked team. His Washington team always played to the level of their competition. And now you're seeing that with Bama this year, right? Obviously look good against Georgia. And then the last two games against Vandy and South Carolina, they played down to those two teams. The thing, though, that people aren't talking about enough is just how good DeBoer is in big games, right? When you get these heavyweight matchups, these top 10 showdowns, he's excellent in those games. He was 6-1 last year in ranked matchups. He beat Dan Lanning twice. He beat Sark. And now, obviously, we saw him beat Kirby Smart this year. So I think Bama and DeBoer, they play to the level of their competition. I expect them to be good against Tennessee this week. And, guys, also, like, Tennessee, I think stylistically doesn't match up well with Bama. Vandy in South Carolina, I think, gave them so much issue because they're teams that want to drain the clock, right? They don't hike it until there's two or three left on the play clock. They want to go on 15, 16-minute drives, keep Bama's defense on the field. Tennessee only knows one speed. They just want to go hyper-fast. And I actually think the tempo is going to help Bama to get their offense on the field as much as possible. That's what they want. So anything under 3 or 3, I like the Tide. If it starts going to 3.5, I'd stay off, but I like Bama to win the game.
All right, LSU, Arkansas, we got another SEC matchup here to pay attention to. What do we make of what's become of LSU and Arkansas season so far?
Upset of the week, guys. I like Arkansas +3. Horrible spot for LSU coming off the overtime win against Ole Miss. The fans stormed the field. Their next two games after this are at A&M and home against Alabama. And all you got in between this is a trip to Fayetteville. Arkansas, nobody's talking about it, guys. This team should be undefeated. They gave away a game early in the season to Oklahoma State. They lost a 4 by to Texas A&M, a game they very easily could have won. And then, of course, they had the upset against Tennessee at home. They're coming off a bye week. So I really like Arkansas. Their quarterback, Taylen Green's playing really well this year. Their defense has been excellent so far. Arkansas is a good team, and their full attention is going to be on LSU, where I don't know what kind of Tigers team we're going to get coming off that emotional win at Ole Miss and the games they have coming up on deck. So definitely take Arkansas. You're getting the key number of 3. I'd take some money line as well, too, guys. I think Arkansas wins.
PJ, the one matchup I'm going to give you here where I hop inside the mind of PJ Glasser. Tell me I'm right here, all right? USC and Maryland. Also, wait a second. This is one of those new rivalries. It's so strange, right? USC has to go across the country. They're coming off an emotional loss to Penn State. Maryland hasn't been all that good. They just got smacked by Northwestern. So Maryland, USC, the Trojans giving 7.5. PJ, if I had to guess, you're going to say that's too many points here. What is the real PJ Glasser have to say?
Gene, you would be correct. You know me well after all these hits that I've been doing. It's just, right? I mean, guys, like USC, a brutal loss to Penn State last week. We were on the Trojans. They covered the spread for us. I thought we'd get a great performance out of them. We certainly did. They were up 2 touchdowns at halftime. Should have won the game outright. Just another brutal loss for Lincoln Riley and USC, right? Now they got to get on a plane. They got to travel across the country. We talked about last week how bad Big Ten teams have been doing that of having to travel where the time change is 2 or more hours, right? And obviously USC's got a 3-hour time change this week. And Maryland guys, Mike Locksley, their head coach, you know I live in the area. The fan base is fed up. Coming off a bye week, you're 10-point favorites. You lose by 20 at home to Northwestern. Like, it's just, it's the same year. It's the same season every year for the Terps. They're great in September, and then you get into conference play in October and November. The wheels just fall off the bus. So Locksley has to win this game. If he wants any chance of saving his job, he's got to win. So I just love when we're getting a team like this that's desperate. They're not looking to cover. They're looking for the upset. And USC, I think, still reeling a little bit from giving away that game against Penn State. So give me the Terps plus the points, and maybe sprinkle a little money line as well.
All right, let's shift gears to the NFL's slate of games here coming up. Week 7 gets underway tomorrow now. But let's start with the game that we're spending the most time talking about here on our show here in the Sports Bar, PJ, and that's the Bills back in the 1 o'clock slot, back at home after a 3-game road trip, taking on the Titans. And right now, depending on where you're looking, favored by as many as 9, 9.5. I have a feeling you're going to say that's too many points to give the Titans.
Yeah, if I were to bet this game, I would take Tennessee. I don't know if I could pull the trigger, though, because of Will Levis, guys. I mean, he is bad. I know we talk about, like, Deshaun Watson and some of these other quarterbacks. Man, Will Levis, it's painful watching him. I bet the Titans a lot this season. But, you know, it's just, I mean, you guys know, like, think about how many big games the Bills have had to play to start their season. They've had four primetime games already. They had to play the Thursday night game against the Dolphins, the Sunday night game against the Ravens, the Monday night game against the Jags and the Jets. I mean, they've had to get up for game after game. They're coming off of a three-game road trip, and now you got to play a 1 o'clock CBS game in a sleepy spot against maybe the worst quarterback in the NFL in Will Levis. So, I mean, if I had to bet the game, I'd bet Tennessee. Like, we know how well these big dogs have been doing. I think Buffalo wins, but, you know, certainly they have not looked like the same team the last 3-4 weeks that we saw in the first 2 weeks. I think the Titans can hang around. So, yeah, if I had to bet it, I'd take the points. But, man, with Will Levis starting at quarterback, I can't tell you guys definitively that it's, like, one of my favorite bets.
I look, BJ, the word sleepy, though, I do think the Bills get a big bounce being back at home after having to go here and there and everywhere. I don't think they overlook this opponent. If it were kind of a back-to-back, perhaps there's going to be some other games on the Bills' schedule, maybe. Perhaps the Colts game in a few weeks in Indy could be one of those. Heck, maybe even the Dolphins 2.0 if Tua comes back, but I don't know, man. I just think that with the how this team has had to go everywhere, the fact that they haven't played a Sunday home game, this is what people in Western New York like, PJ, the Sunday 1 o'clock game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, Gene. And, you know, obviously with the Amari Cooper trade, I think that'll have them all fired up as well, trying to get him going in the offense. That's what it's all about. It's all about the Bills. I mean, if they show up and they treat this game with the energy that they had on Monday against the Jets, like, they're going to win and they're going to cover. If they don't take Tennessee seriously, then the Titans are going to keep this game close. So that's why the spread is as big as it is, and that's the risk that you take. Yeah. You know, if you like Buffalo, then obviously you think they're going to show up. If you like Tennessee, then you're banking on the Bills being sloppy. So, I mean, you guys know, 9's a ton of points in the NFL. These dogs have been doing so well. It's a fair point, Gene. I would lean Tennessee, though. Look, maybe the Bills in a teaser, right? Just tease them down to -3, honestly. That might be the way to go in the game.
Yeah.
PJ, we know that you have a lot of stats, and some of these stats are kind of like hidden gems, and you'll share them with us, and they'll blow our minds, and they end up usually coming to fruition. I don't feel like this is a hidden stat, but it is noteworthy when the Chiefs play the Niners in a rematch of the Super Bowl this weekend. That's Andy Reid being 21-4. Out of the bye week, the best in NFL history, and the Niners this weekend. Which direction are you leaning in this one?
I mean, not only are we getting Andy Reid off of bye danger, we're getting Mahomes as an underdog too, and he's 11-1-1 against the spread. So, I mean, look, I know a lot of people are going to see the Chiefs as underdogs and immediately bet the Chiefs, and it's like, why are the Niners favored? McCaffrey's still not playing. They've been up and down this season. I think maybe people will use the Super Bowl revenge angle, but, I mean, like you said, Andy Reid off a bye, Mahomes is an underdog. Like, even if we just got one of those things, I'd be on Kansas City. But the fact we're getting both of them, I'll take the Chiefs. I think what's scary about Kansas City, guys, is they've been winning all these games and have been playing like their C game, right? So off of a bye now, get a little bit healthier, obviously get amped up knowing that you got to play another one of the best teams in the NFL in San Francisco. I like the Chiefs on Sunday.
Let's talk about Jordan Love for a second. Somebody that, he's hurt, he's gone for the year. No, he's back. And not only is he back, I'm sure you've seen this stat too, that he's only one of 10 quarterbacks in NFL history to have a multiple TD streak of 10 games. And here he is going for number 11 in a game where we expect a lot of points. From a fantasy perspective, this is enticing. The line's also a little fishy, at least I think it is, PJ. You tell me, because I would think the Packers only giving 3 at home against the Texans. Yes, the Texans are a good team, certainly, but it looks too enticing. So how do you view this matchup here, Houston at Green Bay?
I do like Green Bay, actually, Gene. I think that they're ascending right now. You know, they're starting to get healthy. Last week against Arizona, I mean, they won that game by 3 scores, guys. It really wasn't even that close. I mean, they dominated. Love looked great. Defense is forcing turnovers. They're healthy now. Love's back to himself. The receiving core is back. Defense is playing well. And, you know, Houston's still without Nico Collins. We were making a big deal of that last week heading into the New England game, thinking that could be a little bit of a letdown for Houston. They score 40 points. They look great. Not as much talk this week, but I think in a game where you're going to need to score, missing Nico Collins is what's going to hurt Houston. You know, they were fortunate that New England had 4 turnovers last week to really set up some easy scoring drives for them to get going. Green Bay's not going to do that this week. So anything under 3, I actually do like Green Bay, 2.5, 3 points. It's going to be a good game. Houston is a team I've been looking to fade, though, here recently because they've been winning, but they just haven't been convincing. Before last week, they were 4-1 with a score differential of -4. And you think about the NFC North, I mean, how good that division has been. Chicago played them tough. They covered the spread, only lost by 6. And then Minnesota blew the doors off of Houston. So now they got to go up against another NFC North team in Green Bay on the road. I like the Packers.
All right, this one, I'm genuinely curious to see which direction you're leaning, PJ, because it's a game that I don't think anybody's really paying attention to, but it is a compelling matchup. And one of the teams that really is kind of like in control of their division, the Falcons at home, they're 3-point favorites with Seattle coming in.
It's going to be a really good game. I like the over. That's my favorite bet. If you guys go back and look at Geno Smith's history when he's indoors, when he's in a dome, it's ridiculous. I mean, he puts up like 30 points a game consistently. Look at what he did on Monday night a couple weeks ago against Detroit. Like, Geno indoors is elite. And that Seattle defense has been struggling recently. The last 3 games during this losing streak, Atlanta's offense is starting to get rolling. So the over's the bet I like. And I do like Seattle +3 as well. A good buy low on the Seahawks, right? They've dropped 3 straight, but they're getting an extended week. Playing on Thursday against the Niners. Historically, Seattle's been great on the East Coast. Like, I feel like those NFC West teams, guys, that travel to the Eastern time zone usually play really well. So, Geno indoors, good buy low spot in Seattle, dropping 3 in a row. I think they're going to be tough against Atlanta. So, if you can grab the 3, take Seattle. I like the over as well. I think it's going to be a shootout.
Hey, PJ, while you're talking about that game, just because you're mentioning how you like the over and you like the Seahawks with the points, is this a game that's a candidate to middle? Could you do a 3-leg same-game parlay here and maybe like middle this game out a little bit if you mess around with the point spread?
I think you definitely could. I always like looking for that stuff. Yeah, I think the over, you know, it keeps climbing, so just be careful. I think as long as it's under 52, should be good. It opened 49.5. Now it's up to 51. Anything under 52 is good. The +3 with Seattle's good. So, yeah, I mean, try and get the middle, try and get a parlay and correlate some different things. I think that's a great game to do it. Anytime you have an over game, which I think we're going to get, I think parlays are great. Add some props in there, anytime touchdowns. This is the kind of game for all the people out there who have their fantasy teams. If you have guys on Seattle or Atlanta on your roster, I think it'd be a good week to start them.
PJ, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask if you had a thought tonight on Game 3 of the NLCS. And I mean, for the New York Mets and their starting pitcher, how could you go wrong tonight?
Gino, I like Luis Severino and the Mets tonight on the money line. I think they get the job done. Guys, the bet is in Game 4. I think it's going to be 2-2 and then headed into Game 5. Whoever wins tonight, I like the other team in Game 4, but I like the Mets. You know, I thought they would bounce back in Game 2 because that's what they've done the whole postseason, and they did. And Citi Field, Gene, as you know, is going to be on fire tonight. It's going to be rocking. I think Sevy pitches well. I like the Mets, -105.
Okay, so you go Mets tonight for Game 3. Game 4, you take the opposite. You go with the Dodgers, which sets up a 2-2 series for Game 5. In which direction are you leaning, Game 5?
I think we're going Mets, guys. I think we're getting a Subway World Series, which is going to be crazy, like we did back in 2000.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the way we're headed, all New York World Series.
PJ Glasser, if you want more of his content, PJ, tell everybody about Send It In.
1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, guys, every Monday through Friday. You can check out Send It In. It's 30 minutes, fast-paced. We go through a little bit of everything. You can watch us on twitch.tv/BeckQL. YouTube/Odyssey Sports as well. So, yeah, make sure you check it out. Tune in. Great time of year, guy. I mean, we were talking about it last week. Like, October, there's so much to talk about. And it's been awesome. So make sure you can tune in 1 p.m. Eastern time every Monday through Friday.
He is the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Buddy, thanks for the time as always. Talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Thanks, PJ.
Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
About that possible Subway series, they're doing the projections for ticket prices on the secondary market. If it's the Yankees, that would be 4 times the amount they would project as opposed to the Guardians. So Guardians, Dodgers, Guardians, Mets. Look, if you're a Met fan, yeah, it'd be really a lot of fun to have a Subway Series. But also, if you're a Met fan, yeah, it might be a little more affordable if you wanted to.
So it's the difference of whether or not you want to be a blue collar World Series or a white collar World Series, right? I mean, like the corporate guys and the billionaires out there, the millionaires that you know in your life, maybe can swing tickets for a Yankees World Series. But if the Guardians make it, your bank account probably enjoys that a little bit more.
Danger, you somehow got in Guardians Cubs. Now I would have thought everybody in that. Well, you've got your connections for.
Right. I have some connections, and I have different inns that can get me the price that I can afford.
So for anybody that's thinking, hey, I want to go down there to see the Yankees in the ALCS, what was that experience like being an opposing fan in a playoff game in Cleveland?
It's funny. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Yankee fans would travel just as well as Cub fans did. So you really kind of take over the ballpark. I mean, I was there for Game 6 of the 2016 World Series, and I didn't feel intimidated, worried, nothing. I mean, Cleveland fans were there, obviously, but, and they were up in the series, but there were so many Cubs fans there, that it really didn't feel like there was a home field advantage. It felt like a neutral site.
Maybe part of it too was like, who hates the Cubs?
Right.
We were there to hopefully
watch history. And at the time, if I remember correctly, the Cubs needed that one. They were down 3-2 in that series, and they needed that win in Game 6.
Right.
And they blew the doors off of the then Indians, right? They were still the Indians.
And you could have gone to Game 7, but you came back.
Well, Game 7 was the following night. I gave Rex Ryan my tickets. I think he took the bus and drove to Cleveland.
Can we just pause? The current head coach of the Buffalo Bills was out past midnight. I don't know. Like the Rex Ryan experience is like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing, but like you're basically the CEO of a team and...
He wanted to go watch the Game 7 of the World Series. It's a short drive. Somebody probably pitched up. You know what it was? It was probably Wales. Wales was probably like, hey, it's an easy drive. Let's go. Let's all go. Let's jump in the limo bus and let's go to Game 7. What do you say? We got an in. Let's go.
I'm not getting ahead of myself, by the way, when it comes to the Mets. I'm the guy, and I said this on the air when we got back from Labor Day, when you and I were in the car driving back from Syracuse.
You thought the guy was crazy.
I thought the guy was crazy on WFAN. I'm going to have to look up who actually that host
was
and apologize.
He was going on and on and on, and this is at the very beginning of September. The Mets are going to make the World Series. The Mets are going to win the World Series. They have a team of this is a team of destiny.
What was my reaction?
You're like, this guy's a quack. Yeah, I didn't know what he's talking about.
What are you talking about?
And I'm trying to remember the points he was making that maybe when you look at it now in retrospect, God, he was right? He was right? Was he right all along? Is that really what this team is? I like him tonight too. I think that'll be fun at Citi Field. It's a different atmosphere. It's a fun atmosphere. I saw the billboard that they posted. I think they posted it in Times Square. And I know I bag on you and on Mets fans an awful lot, and I call you social misfits and all this other stuff. But when I saw this, I'm like, I can't be mad at this. This is just fun. It's just so much fun. And it was
I haven't seen this. What is
it? It was a billboard that basically said it wasn't, I'm paraphrasing, it wasn't fade, it wasn't karma, it was Grimace. And it's a picture of Grimace wearing the Mets hat on the mound, throwing out the first pitch. And it was an ad for McDonald's. It was McDonald's taking credit for the Mets being in the ALCS. It was a fun billboard. I saw it. I'm like, all right, if that's If that's true, if that's in Times Square, wherever that, that picture is, I'm like, that's fun. I can't really be angry.
I will keep my word, Danger. If somehow the Mets make the World Series, I haven't dressed up for Halloween since I did it once in college. I will come in as Grimace that day.
I love it. What a treat for anybody watching the live stream on our YouTube channel at the Fan Rochester. Weird. Yeah, the billboard in Times Square is a McDonald's billboard, and it's a picture of Grimace with his baseball mitt and his Mets hat, and it just says, it wasn't luck, it wasn't fate, it was Grimace. It's perfect. It's a great billboard. It's a great campaign, and it's fun. I kind of like want to see that happen. That would be a lot of fun if it was to end up being a Subway Series and the Mets were in there. That would be quite the story. We'd have to find out who that FAN host was that was making us laugh at the beginning of September. Now we're like, ooh, God, he was kind of onto something. Wow. We'll take a break here and come back. We'll have Spencer German from our Odyssey Sports sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, stopping by in a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about what the Bills are getting in Amari Cooper. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Cleveland with not just the Browns. More specifically, let's talk about the Guardians and the Yankees in that series. And a couple more things to get to here in a little bit, including Tom Brady getting a unanimous vote by the NFL's owners to become a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. It's time for the charade to end. It's time to make a decision if you're Tom Brady.
Can you recover if Buck and Aikman are pointing at you and laughing at you, basically?
It's the
final word here, I guess, on Monday Night Football, and we had so much yesterday, but it is something that certainly is a concern moving forward.
And we're celebrating an anniversary today. Or I'm celebrating an anniversary today. 18 years ago. 18-year anniversary of a very, very special moment in my fandom of my favorite team. And I will explain what that is and why today is significant. That's all coming up next. Join us anytime at 866-4326. We're at The Fan Rochester on X as well.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.